then add to the embarrassment. And it gets to a point that you just numb. And that's kind of where I'm at. And you know, Tony, I said, well, you and I both talked. We lost our dads here recently this year, and we miss them. And I can talk about my dad in that regards. But my dad was a Baptist minister, and I never heard him say one cuss word except one time we was putting a roof on a house, and he took a hammer and just laid on that thumb. And I looked at him, what did you say? Man, I've reached that point. Everybody's got that point that they just lose it. And I have reached that point. I have hit my thumb with a hammer, and it's all I can to keep things in perspective and keep it from getting exit out of here. Because I'm so frustrated. I mean, you look at the window dressing that this university's doing with the embarrassment behind it. You look at Checker Kneeling. You look at all the stuff they did, you know, for the fans to get excited about for our field, our home, our place, our pride. Come in and people just be an embarrassment of, just be totally made light of. And it's just like letting somebody come in your house and kick your dog, turn over the furniture, and just wreak the havoc and stand there and it's okay. It ain't okay. And whoever's in charge, they ain't got no pride in this university if they stand back and let this continue on. And I don't care who we get as a coach. I honestly don't. I want a ball coach.
The damn most disgraceful thing I've ever seen. This guy here is a lie. This is a lie. I'm tired of living a lie. He's living a lie. The program's living a lie. His thing has been a lie. It's a lie. What's going on behind the scenes? People don't even want to know. It has been nothing but a sea of dissension, coach on coach, player on player. It's amazing they went out there today and played a half-decent football game with everything that's going on. But truthfully, that's what you get. That's what they looked like. They looked purposeless. I'll give a defense credit. They came and played hard. They were blitzing. But even there, you know, Tony, what are they doing with this Batuli thing? Would you please tell me what that's about, Tony? Please tell me, Tony.
I asked you what was going on.
Well, tell me what that's about.
Oh, Batuli's not in the game. Unacceptable. Because Batuli is one of our best players out there, best tackler. He's always around the ball, and he's not in the game. I don't care if it's nickel, dime, 20, whatever it is. Batuli needs to be in the big help. He needs to be in the ball game at all times, man. This kid is too good not to be in the ball game, man.
And it makes no sense. And that's just right to this caller's point. And now I'm gonna bring my man Bino in with Turkey Man. Bino, I would like your thoughts on what Turkey Man had to say as I welcome you in. And we were both kind of didn't know what to think from this game, Bino. And it about lived down to our expectations.
Tony B, Alex, T Rob. I guess I'm glad to be on with you here. Well, Turkey Man's been he's been preaching the gospel for a number of weeks. Regardless to whether it's tomorrow or a week from tomorrow, the Bus Jones era is over. It's over, and I don't believe it's going to last much longer. I don't believe they're going to let this thing linger. Maybe one more week and that's it. But when you roll out there and you get basically every break in a football game, and you play turnover free, and you're playing a bad football team who's playing a D-plus game,
yep,
and you still get beat at home, that's where our program's at. Yep. That's who we are.
Yep. I mean, to use a Tony term, that was some straight garbage today. Go ahead, Turkey Man.
Bino, how far down were they, South Carolina, on their offensive line and their running backs and their wide receivers? I mean, I watched players go down, and their running backs was down to, what, third string?
Yeah, well, no, they had their second and their third string running back left. They had two running backs left. They lost their main running back, Dowdell, however he pronounces his name. Of course, they'd already lost probably the best all-around offensive player and weapon in the SEC in Deebo Samuel, and they were in, it was their it was their thought they were going to have to play three freshmen on their offensive line today. I don't know if that occurred or not, but that was what they thought. That's what they had to do last week against Arkansas.
Well, you know, Coach, as bad as, you know, Muschamp failed, he is a good ball coach as far as certain things. But we need a coach that can coach. If we had a coach the last 2 years, we would have not only won the SEC, we would have been relevant in the championship game. And people don't understand just how a good coach could have made the difference in what we've had. And the talent is not the talent. It is putting players in the right position to make plays and understand and evaluate the players that you've got.
Yep. I go back to Syracuse last night, Turkey Man. Did you watch Syracuse play?
I did.
They had some purpose. And I'll tell you what they are today. They're what we call relevant.
Absolutely. And it don't matter, you know. I mean, I guess, you know, if I was looking at picking a staff, I guess I'd say, okay, I'm going to go get me and pay the money and get I'm going to get Cutcliffe because he's seasoned. Everybody wants a seasoned, and then I'm going to play whatever it takes to get T. Martin as his offensive coordinator, and letting him know that Cutcliffe is not going to have but a couple years left or whatever, and you're going to be my coach. And then I go get somebody like Dale Jones that loves Tennessee and no understands defense, and I let him be my defense coordinator. But I don't give a flip who they get. And I've got to watch it here, man. I really got to watch it because I've hit my thumbnail, man. I don't give a hoot who they get. I want a coach that understands when you come in my house, you don't kick over my furniture, you don't kick my dog, and it ain't okay. And you ain't going to come in my house. My fans is 12 men, and you ain't coming in here, and I'm not going to embarrass my fans and my people. And don't tell me it's okay. Do you know how close that game was? It was close, but you know how it would have been the other way if our kicker hadn't been sick and he had to decide which kicker he was going to use to get the points from? If he went into the shell game we've seen, those two back-to-back nearly penalties was the coach ought to know that when you come in that situation, you don't have a 40-second clock no more. You got a 25-second clock. So you don't have a chance to stand over there and pick your nose and adjust your headset and holler whoever it is and whatever the heck he does with his dummy headset. I am friggin' over it, Tony. I'm over it.
Turkey Man, I love you. Appreciate your passion. Bino, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, I understand, Tony, and I understand because Butch Jones just was clueless about what Tennessee football really was about and what the expectations really should be here. I understand everyone wanting Tennessee guys brought in here, but the truth is we don't have a Tennessee guy that should be given this coaching job. Cutcliffe is too far down the road. T's not far enough down the road. What we need is a guy that understands the expectations of big-time football. We've got a big-time football program, and we've got a small-time coach and a small-time coaching staff.
Bino, I'm getting sick of this crap. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're about to get healed.
We are about to get healed.
At least wise, we're about to cut out one thing that needs to be cut out. Now, whether they can complete the surgery or not, I've got no clue.
I'm going to have me an old Dominic healing in a second coming up. Al's going to have a scoreboard report for us coming up here momentarily. And, wow, let's go back to our phones. I want to remind you that, my man, if you're out tonight and you're enjoying yourself a little too much, shall we say, after tonight's game, or you're trying to chase away the feeling of Butch Jones football as I am right now. Before you say guilty, if you get stopped by the popo, before you say guilty, you say Garza. GarzaLaw.com. GarzaLaw.com. Before you say guilty, whatever you do, you say Garza. Bino, when they ran that stupid when they were driving that ball in that second series and got with the greatest of ease down around the 10-yard line, and it was like a hot knife through butter. And Tommy Tuberville cut an absolute promo on Larry Scott and said, and Butch Jones, and said, where is the awareness of this coaching staff? What are they doing? If I could take one little tiny snippet capsule of the Butch Jones era and present it as Exhibit A, and there are a lot of exhibits for why this guy shouldn't be here, that's it. Because as Jerry Colquitt says, they're going to run their stuff. Doesn't matter what's working, what isn't. They're going to run their stuff. And that's a prime example of that in the Butch Jones era of Tennessee football. A prime example. There's no reason to be doing that. None at that juncture. None.
Tony, the only red zone offense we've had in the entirety of the Butch Jones era came because we had Josh Dobbs at quarterback, period. He could make something out of nothing down there. And what we've got down there is nothing.
Nothing. And Bino, tell me if you agree with this. I know you're a big Josh Dobbs guy. Josh Dobbs, one of the things he did so well is not only could he make things happen when things broke down, but he was at his best when there was no script left. Right. When he just had to do something and it wasn't scripted. It was just he had to just go out there and make a play. And it seems like everybody's talking about Butch Jones' offense is just not working. It worked with Dobbs when he kind of took the offensive playbook out of the equation and just made something happen on his own, athletically.
Now when things break down, we have no one that can do anything about it. What we didn't realize is how often things were breaking down.
Yeah. You know, Butch's offense is very limited. You know, there's not a lot of options in his offense. There's only just that one thing, you know, just basic offense.
When Josh Dobbs was telling people behind the scenes they weren't letting him check.
There's no checkoff system. There's no check system. And so that's the problem.
When
you got eight in the box, you hit them quick. I mean, you got eight guys in the box. So what you do? Quick game. Slants, outs, quick hitches. That will get those guys out of eight in the box. Now you can run the ball because now you can block them. But you can't block eight guys in the box, man. And for some odd reason, we're not picking this up. If you go to a UT game, everybody in the stands can see this. And they know this, but why is it that our coaches don't know this?
Well, and Tony, you and I both talked about it. I noticed something I think it was the second to last play, was when they tried to do the little stutter fake outside and then slant inside to
right.
Callaway.
Uh-huh.
I watched the two receivers up top. There was three receivers, two up top and Kyle checkdowns. Callaway was the slant. We both said right before the play they need to throw a slant right here.
Uh-huh.
So he ran a slant. The two guys on the replay up top
went straight to the back of the end zone.
It wasn't a fade route. They didn't have any angle to him. Ran straight. They didn't really look at the quarterback. There was no second route.
There
was one route, and that was it.
There was no option. You know what I'm saying? Because they both ran the same thing, and the only route you got is the slant route. Yeah. You know?
Next Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of our friends at Miller & Coors, we're going to be at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse, where you will eat, drink, and play. That's up on Bearden Hill on Kingston Pike for the Tennessee-Alabama game. Al, that is a 3:30 start as a CBS game.
CBS?
And we better have a full house there. Don't you dare leave me hanging just because Butch Jones sucks. Don't you do that to me.
I need me some
Don't you
tickets.
Dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare do that to me. Tony, you've been to several watch parties.
Oh, yeah.
Are they not a great time?
Oh, man, we have a wonderful time down here, man. It's so much fun, man. A whole lot of fun, man.
The only way, seriously, to get through this as a Tennessee family is together.
Yeah.
Next week at your Bearden Hill Fieldhouse next Wednesday. Let's go back to our phones. And I want to thank your Marcos Garza for presenting your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. You got Bino the Great on the line. You've got T-Rob in studio. Superstar Alex is here. I'm Tony Basilio. Welcome in. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in, my friend.
Well, I just wanted to call in and say, you know, I'm 13 years old, and I have a 16-year-old cousin, and we've been the biggest Vol fans probably since forever. And, you know, we've been going to these games since we were 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, just watching what this team has been putting out, like what this coach staff has been putting on the field, is just really amazing. Like, it amazes me. And
let me ask you something. In your 13-year-old mind, did you know today that running Jared Garantano over at the boundary to the short side was stupid before halftime when he took that sack? Did you know that?
Well, Tony, I know that whatever Butch is calling is stupid. We run the same play every time. It's either because our quarterback doesn't even keep it on the read option. So what even is it? It's just a hand up the middle, and then we do that stupid play where Garantano runs to the outside, and they try and cut it off, like what we did for the final play, which got picked off last week for the first play against Georgia.
You know, in your 13-year-old mind, did you know today that what Tennessee did offensively was unacceptable on about 50 levels? Did you realize that?
Tony, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I think I could have ran a better offense than whatever they put out on the field today.
There's no question you could have. Bino, after talking to this young man for 90 seconds, listen to how articulate, bright, quick you are. Could have plugged Larry Scott's – we could have unplugged Larry Scott's headset and plugged this kid's earpiece in, and he could have gone to town and called a better game. Bino.
No question, Tony. No question.
I mean, Larry Scott, that is an embarrassment. No offense to him. Anything else for us, my man, on the way out?
Well, I just want to say one more thing. You know, if I ever got in a fight with a Tennessee offensive player, I would run in the end zone because he'll never find me there. Thank you, Tony.
Oh, cold-blooded. 13 years old?
Yeah, boy, it's not cold. The player you got to watch out for. It's that helmet that's sitting there in the middle of it. So that's what you better watch out for.
You better watch for that helmet, yeah. Definitely.
Hey, you know,
that helmet is dangerous, man.
That's the hardest hit we've had in a month. Yeah. Can't go on a helmet.
I'm telling you, yep.
Go ahead, Bino.
Ten quarters without a touchdown. That's impossible.
What was
Dave Clawson, the claw fence, didn't go 10 quarters without a touchdown.
What was
can we call this the claw fence number two? Because I'm about to claw my eyes out if I have to be subjected to watching it anymore.
Yeah.
That's a good question. What are we going to call? We have a week.
This must be the slaw fence because they're getting ground up out there. I know that.
And a 13-year-old kid just said, I'm going to run into the end zone, and he won't find me there. I'll see your next call in.
Oh,
hello and welcome on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome. Hello.
Hey, Tony. Bino.
Hey, welcome
T-Rob,
in.
Rob, how you guys doing?
Hey,
man.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, Tony. Man, this is bad. You know, you called me a sick and twisted individual for predicting worst-case scenario. We're 5-7. Hell, that may be best case scenario this year.
Yeah, I thought you were absolutely nuts for saying that. And now with this football team, I don't know where the wins are because we have no offense.
And I thought Georgia Tech would beat us. See, I was counting that as a loss in my 5-7 prediction. So, anyway, on a more serious note here, you know, this has become really critical. We are losing our identity as a football program.
Yep.
And if we don't get it right this time, we may never get it back again. And that's why I'm going to use some cliches here. It seems quite appropriate. We have got to shoot for the stars, swing for the fences, whatever you want to say, and make a splash higher. We've got to do it, Tony. And it's not Bobby Petrino. That guy's 0-7 on the road against ranked teams. It's got to be somebody. It's got to be Gruden or somebody
Gruden.
Pretty close.
It's got to be Gruden.
And let me, you know, people laugh, you know, no, we can't get Gruden. You know, these are the same people that tell us we're a top 15 program, but yet we can't have a good coach. And something else that people don't take into consideration is Gruden is straddling two sinking ships right now. The NFL has destroyed itself, okay? It's taken a big hit. in the ratings. ESPN is losing 10,000 viewers per week. How much longer can they continue to pay him $6.5 million a year?
Well, the NFL is just a gigantic property. But, hey, I appreciate the call. Thank you. It's got to be Gruden, Bino. Are you Gruden? Are you full Gruden, Bino?
Well, I'll tell you this, Tony. If they don't at least approach him, I don't believe Gruden will take the job. But if they don't at least approach him and approach Chip Kelly, they don't care as much as they should.
865-200-5402. Not to be disrespectful, T-Rob, but who's your candidate? And then we'll go back to the phones. And by the way, 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us.
The man that won this championship, T-Martin. That's what I say, T-Martin. Bring T back home, man. He's a very good recruiter, and he's a very good coach out there at USC. So let's bring T back home, man. Where he belongs, man.
His quarterback is struggling mightily for him, though. Go ahead, Alex.
I truly think, you know,
I think it would be a nice little. I think it would be a nice fit.
Oh, no, there's no question. It would be interesting anyway.
When Butch Jones was hired, guys, I thought that it was really important that we get somebody who could recruit. And, you know, everybody feels like Butch has done a really good job at that. Here's my thing. The way I'm looking at it, anybody can recruit at Tennessee.
Yep.
Look. Yeah, all you got to do is put on the tape of this year and then look at that crowd today. Oh. Here's my thing with Butch, though. When will we stop saying that he's a good recruiter? I watched that talent today. I've watched that talent against Georgia. I've watched that talent all season. Yeah. And the talent, I mean, to me, does South Carolina, no one in their right mind, I don't think, has been saying over the past 2 to 3 years that South Carolina has been killing the recruiting game, right? Right. No one said that. But everybody's been saying Tennessee's killing it and been really good recruiting. Look at those two teams and the talent that's out there. To me, there's no difference. To me,
you are speaking the truth, man.
Yeah. I mean, if that's high quality recruiting right there,
we're not playing the right guys out there on that field. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of guys that we're not playing that should be playing.
Hey, Bino, way they pull that Patoli kid in and out of that football game.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
The nickels and dimes.
Nickels and dimes.
That is the dumbest in the world. I mean, it's just moronic. Oh.
It's almost like you stopped doing it with the receivers, so now we got to find another position to sit there and rotate in and out.
Yeah. This is your best tackle. I mean, this guy's always running the ball.
He's crazy.
He's got to stay on the field,
man. He's the only guy that plays like with a motor.
Yeah.
To the phones we go.
Mean, man.
It's so frustrating.
It is, man. This is so frustrating.
It's kind of like this. Look, identify your ballers and play them. It's not that hard.
It's not that hard, no.
Let's get
football 101, man.
Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. As the Vols take it on the chin to South Carolina. Hadn't scored a touchdown in about a month. Hadn't won a game since our eclipse. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you are. Go right ahead.
All right. How y'all doing today?
Doing great. Thank you for calling us.
Thank you for answering my call. I got two quick points. I'm just going to quit picking y'all's mind. My first point is I'm going to sound a little bit crazy, but I think we should let Butch Jones ride out the rest of the season. Hear me out. Let him ride out the rest of the season because he's gotten us this far. He's won more than Kiffin and Dooley did. So, I mean, let him ride out. If we go 5-7, fire him. If we beat Alabama and go 10-whatever, keep him. All right, that's my first point. My second point is I think we need to establish, like you said, a ball player. We need to center our offense around somebody who is going to make plays consistently. I think that person is John Kelly because you saw the first couple of runs he had, he was running people over. He was dominating. They could not touch him. And then we quit giving him the ball, and you saw what happened. We weren't efficient. We didn't move the ball, and we didn't score. And I think that's ultimately what cost us the game. So I think we need to establish him as a playmaker, get him the ball, find ways to run your offense around him, throw passes out from the flat, run him up the middle, run him out wide.
Did you guys hear about Jane Skinner's the NFL commissioner's wife, Al? She got caught. She got caught tweeting, defending. Mm-hmm. Yep. Is your last young man? Is your last name Jones?
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Look, I'm just.
Are you related to him?
You're positive, that's for sure.
I'm telling you, I just love this team, and I just love this team, because you think the whole Dallas Jones got here, we were so good when Dallas Jones got here, and we went 9 games. I'm not complaining about that.
I want his ass fired tonight. Vino, talk to this young man, please.
Bless your heart, young man.
Vino, you were being tolerant of his viewpoint, Alex.
And I know we talk about I'm relatively young, but I was blessed enough to be. I was young, but I can remember the glory days of late 90s, early 2000s, when Tennessee was what Tennessee should be. To the caller talking about, and I've heard this for 3 or 4 years now, well, if Tennessee, if you look at where they were when Dooley was here, that's not the measuring stick. That's not Tennessee football. So if you're comparing it to that, I don't know what you're comparing it to, because in my opinion, that's not Tennessee football, so it's not fair to compare it to that. He did a really good job of getting us from that point, but if you hit the plateau, and as you see now, we've not only plateaued, we're going downhill. If you can't take us to that next level, it's not the answer.
I'm going to put the cameras on a guy right now who knows what Tennessee football is supposed to be, and his name is Tony Robinson, and he's in your Raymere studio right now as a part of our Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Tony, to that young man who says that Butch Jones has won 9 games, he doesn't understand what we're complaining about. He's won 9 games 2 years in a row. And
Huh? 9 games?
He says there's no reason we should run him out of here.
Well, if you look back at it, he should have won more than 9 games. He should have won a bunch more games than 9. And right now, his scheme is not working, man.
No.
His scheme is not working.
Nope.
And I tell you, the expectations here in Tennessee are very high.
Yeah. And I love kids. Young kids think magagically. Uh-huh. Like he said, we're going to beat Alabama and win the rest of them.
Hey, win 10 games.
Win 10.
Has he gotten into your old dog?
I hope we do. But I don't see that 82-85 team down there. You know what I'm saying? The 82-85 team from 82 to 85 going to Alabama. But we beat them 4 years in a row. I mean, man, I love them Yankees, man.
What kind of a send was that from the out? Well, we'll talk about that later.
And you know, Bino, guess who's the hitting coach?
Bino, when you send a guy, is it okay if he runs hard from third base?
That would be preferable, Tony.
Did you see him jogging in a championship series game?
Yeah, he didn't appear to be busting it exactly. But
it takes
two doubles to score him anyway. Let's go back to. Let's go back to something the young man said, and I want to go back even further to Strider's call. See, that's what Strider's talking about. We're losing a generation of people. We've got a group of youngsters that think Tennessee football is what they saw from Dooley and what they saw from the beginning of the Jones era, and that's what Jones thinks too. So we are at a critical juncture. I mean, our program has been so down that Will Muschamp, who is a joke, is 6-0 against our program because of the mess they've made of it.
I think it's 5, Bino, but we'll just go ahead and give him
next year. I believe it's 6.
Let's go ahead and give him next year over there.
I believe he beat us 3 times at Florida, didn't he?
I think it was only 2. I think he was ousted after that. I'm not. You may be right, but I was thinking it was only 2.
Now,
he may have gone to 5-0 today. It's either 5-0 or 6-0.
No. This is year 5 with Butch, and he lost the first 2 the third year of Muschamp. The third year Muschamp was at Auburn as a defense coordinator, and then the last 2 at South Carolina.
I think so it's 5, but it's 5, making me ill, and it doesn't matter because he's terrible. He's crazy eyes.
He beat Dooley.
Yeah. He beat Dooley in his first year, I think.
Well, let's go back to our phones and get our next call in.
Who could have beat Dooley?
Butch Jones.
Oh, Butch didn't beat Dooley?
No. Muschamp beat Dooley and beat Jones twice at Florida.
Yeah, Butch Jones could not beat Dooley. That's my point. Butch Jones could beat Dooley.
And
now he's 1-2, so he's 5-0, I guess, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, we haven't beat him, and he can't coach a lick.
He can't coach a lick. I mean, he beat us a year that Georgia Southern popped them. Vanderbilt, when they were not very good, popped them.
It's like when you're trying to get your batting average up and you're 0-9, and you go up there on the 10th at bat, and you go 0-10, it doesn't really matter. You're still 0-4.
That's a great point. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Tony, I'm about done with it all. I've been going to UT football games for 10 years, since I was about 6 or 7. My granddad, my uncle takes me to Knoxville, been season ticket holders, and I love that university. I love that team, and it's just killing me. I cannot do it anymore. It's just the same crap every weekend. It's a stupid Butch Jones, the same crap with Dooley. It's just, like Vino said, hit a nail on the head. Just generation, I don't blame them for quitting. I don't want to quit on that team because they bust their ass every weekend for these great fans.
Yep.
And, you know, Butch just lets them down. It lets his fan base down. It's not those players. It's the stupid coaching staff up there.
You know what we had in that place? I want you to think about this, okay? That UMass game, we didn't score. Did we score in that UMass game? It's been nine – since the first quarter of the UMass game, we haven't scored a touchdown, so it's been 9 quarters now.
Well, Rocky Top is –
No, it's been 10 quarters. We didn't score the whole second half against UMass, and we haven't scored in the last 2 games.
Okay, Rocky, so it's 10 quarters.
Rocky Top Insider, Bino, get you some of this. They put out a tweet a minute ago. Vols have totaled 714 yards of offense and just 26 points in their last 3 games against UMass, UGA, and South Carolina. You should get those numbers against UMass alone.
And here's the deal. These are the stone cold facts now. So you haven't scored in 10 quarters of football, okay? This team is going to get absolutely demolished next week by Alabama. The next time this team takes the field in Neyland Stadium, there will be a tremendous crowd on hand. Why? Because this place deserves better. It's real simple. Yeah. There was 97,000 fans to see a team that did not drive the ball inside the 20-yard line of Georgia. And that Butch Jones likes to bitch about everything, and he likes to tell everybody how he's not appreciated. Damn it. Why don't you do something?
Talk about how the fan base is negative.
We didn't get past the 40-yard line of their territory. I mean, you know. Forget the 20. We didn't get past the 40.
And there were 97,000 people there today, guys. 97,000 people.
Hey, I didn't think it was that many, but 97,000?
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Come on.
That tells you about the fans we have here.
It's an awesome place.
It tells you about the fans.
I would die for this place.
They love the football here, and you're right. They deserve better.
Probably will die for this.
Tennessee fans deserve a whole lot.
Southern Miss.
I'm telling you right now, I would not put anything past this administration that does not value this place like you do. They just don't. The Haslams don't.
I'm with Bino here. I think next week at the very maximum, that's it.
Well, the man's done a great job here. So, be sad to see him go.
We need a change, man. We need a change. It's been a mess.
Anything else for us from our caller?
I've got one question. I was going to ask if it's illegal for Don Kelly to run the ball inside the 2-yard line.
It is. It's illegal.
I thought so.
It's against the law for John Kelly to touch the ball inside the 5.
I put the ball on the 2-yard line, Tony. Okay.
And
now, of course, we're not built this way. But why don't you, at that point, get under center, put John Kelly back there? How many chances have they had this year to get that damn thing right? And they will not do it. They refuse to do that.
Well, I tell you, I was in shock. I thought I was going to faint when I seen him up under center today, up on the goal line. And we tried that little isolation play with Kelly, and we didn't get no push off the offensive line. The offensive line didn't do anything. They just stacked us up right there. So I was shocked. I was shocked about that, but still, we're not executing. We're not executing. We're not getting any push. Something's got to be done.
I would have rolled the dice and given that ball to Kelly there instead of putting it in the hands of Garantano. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would have as well. And You know, Kelly, once Muschamp decided that he was not going to let Kelly run the football, we were done.
That's exactly what he did.
Until they went into their prevent there at the end, which is dumb as a bag of hammers, always has been, always will be.
Tony, when they went into that prevent and that safety left the middle of the field wide open, they had a poorly schemed prevent. Uh-huh. And I mean, Garantano stepped in there and threw a dart.
Yeah, he threw that sweet dart.
I mean, he's got arm talent.
Yeah.
Our red zone offense would be 100 times better if they don't want to go up under center. Just snap it directly to Kelly. Just run a straight wildcat down there with nothing but him running the football, and we'd be 10 times better than what we are right now.
And like somebody just said on Periscope, boy, running a toss sweep, I know that's a really complicated play. And that must be really difficult to draw that up. Tony, in practice, how long would it take you to draw up a toss sweep?
Oh, finger snap.
Could it be done?
Could you do that in like a couple practices?
You could do that. You don't need a couple practices to draw up a toss sweep.
So the reason they don't do that is why?
Beats me. I mean,
you're under center. You're under center, and you run a quick sweep, toss it back.
How hard is that? Nothing. It's football 101.
But how much preparation time?
None. I tell you what.
Go ahead.
You set your defenses up.
Yeah.
To the line, who they're gonna block on certain defenses, and that's it. You run in practice, and it's it. That's it.
How about this one? How about Garantano under center? Hut hike. Kelly runs forward. You give him the football. He dives over the top. How hard is that?
Not at all. Nothing hard about that.
Bino, who's stopping John Kelly if he goes up over the pile there off the 2-yard line? Who you betting on?
I'm betting on Butch Jones stopping him.
Let's go back to our phones.
That's the right answer. That was the right answer. 865-200-5402.
Alex will have a scoreboard. And when he does, it'll be presented by our friends at Citizens National Bank, where you'll earn 1.75%. on a free checking account at CNB. Visit CNB.com for details. Also, Alex, later on, we'll have another scoreboard for you. And when he does that, it'll be presented by our friends at Performance Medicine, where I'll be doing a live show coming up here in the next couple of weeks because I'm performing at my best right now. Thank you, Dr. Tom Rogers. Thank you, Performance Medicine. PerformanceMedicine.net, Knoxville and the Tri-Cities. And my brother looked at me in Pennsylvania this week, and he said to me, Tony, you don't look exhausted at all from the drive. You've been visiting colleges all week. You don't look exhausted. What's gotten into you? And I said, brother, Performance Medicine has gotten into me.
All right. Yeah,
Performance Medicine. Let's go to our phones. So when Alex has his next scoreboard, or to be presented by our friends at Calhoun's, we want to remind you that Corner 21, what am I saying? Mike, I'm sorry. Let me go back.